Welcome to the Fear and Doubt Detox Audio Summit. I'm Simona McNeil, a freedom from fear and visibility coach who helps women outsmart fear, doubt, and shame so they can go from dreamer to doer, one small action at a time. I'll be your host over the next 4 days, and I'm so excited to share these 20 plus interviews with you. Throughout these interviews, you'll be introduced to some amazing women of God. These are real women sharing their very real stories and experiences with fear, doubt, and shame, and how they overcame them. Together, we want to help you detox your thoughts, debunk the lies, and transform your life. Freedom is yours for the taking. While this event was created by Christian women for Christian women, this is a judgment-free zone where everyone is welcome. Think of these sessions as less of a finger-wagging soliloquy and more of a conversation between friends that we're inviting you to join in on. I'm so excited to hear about the growth, ahas, and transformation that come from this week's summit. Listen in. Welcome back to the Fear and Doubt Detox Audio Summit. I am so excited to be joined by my sister in Christ today. We have a good message planned for you. Like, I am really excited to share it with you. Before I get too carried away, I do want to briefly introduce you to today's speaker, Eden Simon. Eden is a survivor. She is an amazing woman of God. She is a podcast host. She's an author. She has an amazing 12-week journal prompts series that she's going to be sharing with us. I could go on and on about her gifts and her attributes, but I'm going to turn it over to her so that she can do it justice. Eden, welcome to the Fear and Doubt Detox Audio Summit. We're so happy you're here.
Thank you so much. It's such a privilege and an honor to be here today.
Today, we're going to be talking about breaking free, overcoming fear, and finding safety in faith after domestic violence. Take us back to the beginning and give us a little bit of context. And before you dive in, Eden, just thank you in advance for sharing your story.
Oh, you're so welcome. This is the first time I've spoken publicly in a setting like this. So forgive me if tears come or something along those lines, but this is so near and dear to my heart. You say go back to the beginning, but let me just say I was raised in purity culture and I was taught some very not so great beliefs about dating and relationship and how to build a healthy relationship. And it was all about just be a virgin when you get married and God will take care of everything. And so I fought and I won that battle and then ended up in a marriage very too quickly before I did any due diligence or really any fact checking on his story. And come to find out, we didn't align on anything. And I could go into the weeds on that, but I won't. But basically, he and I had a very toxic, unhealthy relationship dynamic that ended up ending in violence. And I pray for him constantly that he is able to break free. So I don't want his story out there. I don't want the details out there. So I think today, really what I want to focus on is the cycle that you go through emotionally, mentally, and physically when you're going through trauma, and then how that can be broken after you're out of that situation.
Before we dive into that, though, I want to talk about how you came to the point where you were able to forgive and just give so much grace. Because I think there is so much beauty in that. And because I know our Father, I know that he was in the midst of it. But I was wondering if you could start by just talking our listeners through that piece. Because there was so much grace in what you just said.
Yeah, thank you. I love the Lord. I love him a lot. And I know his love for me and for my ex-husband are 1 million times what I could ever think or imagine. And my thought is, if he could love him so much, how can I not? And if I truly love someone, even though we're not going to be together, it's not safe, it's not supposed to be a marriage, the Lord made that very clear that he was helping to rescue me out of that situation, then how could I ever curse someone or curse him and hate him, because if the Lord loves him, I need to as well. And truly, I have so much empathy. I think a lot of domestic violence victims or survivors, I should say, we all have a lot of empathy. That's why we're in that situation to begin with. We can see maybe some of the unhealthy patterns that led to that destructive behavior. We can see how they're stuck in their own mental mess. And I always want to champion people to get out of their own mental mess and to be their own advocates and to flush out the pain and work through those issues with the Lord, because that's the only way you can find freedom. And I think one of the things that bugs me so much about people who choose to live the life of being violent, either in word, action, or in deed, they are using the person that they are acting aggressively towards to help them self-regulate because they don't know how to self-regulate internally. They're using the other person to regulate their emotions because they do not know how to self-regulate. I have worked so diligently on myself, trying to find out, how do I regulate my own emotions? How do I understand the feelings that are coming up? And how do I understand what is actually behind anger? Because anger is a secondary emotion. And it's just so incredibly important that you stop and go, wait, hold on, what's actually happening here? And let's figure this out and process it with the Lord. Because of that, because of the grace I give myself, and because of the grace that I give everyone, I can't help but also give him that same grace.
I love that. Without getting into specifics or breaking anyone's privacy, talk us through that cycle. Tell us what that looked like. I have watched loved ones go through cycles of domestic violence to the point where maybe they've encountered it in one relationship, got out, and then gone into it in another relationship. And what I love about your story is the breaking free piece. Talk us through how you realized you were in a cycle, like how that came to your awareness, and how God helped you break free.
Yeah, great question. I can't say this is a fortunate part of my history, but there has been a history of domestic violence in my family, or I should say extended family. I had a stepsister who was in a situation that was far worse than mine. And when she was getting out of that, she utilized Safe Place, which was the name of the domestic violence women's shelter and nonprofit organization that helped women break free from abusive relationships. They actually taught her about what the abuse cycle looks like. And then she taught me. I'm very analytical and I'm very black and white. So when you tell me this is the cycle, it sticks with me. That happened in my teen years. So later, when I realized, it took about 7 years for me to realize in my marriage what was actually happening, because it wasn't violent yet. It was like, wow, you're just really angry all the time. I'm always walking on eggshells with you. Is this violence? Is it not? Is it domestic violence? Because domestic violence isn't always physical. In fact, a lot of times it's not physical, and no one do any credence or really even acknowledges that you're in a toxic situation until there is violence, which is just so awful. But anyway, that's beside the point. When I started to recognize the patterns was when the issues started to escalate and became much more delineated, where I would notice what I call now a Jekyll and Hyde personality. One second we are extremely happy and childish, and then the next second we are extremely angry and go into a lecture that will last up to 24 hours. It was pretty extreme when I finally realized what was happening, and I started begging God to get me out of it. And of course, until it was physically violent and I got a concussion and all the things, like that's when I actually was able to justify to myself that I could leave. And then as I started doing, I went to one Safe Place was the name of the organization that I went to. It's different state, different county, different organization, but the point remains the same. They helped me understand the pattern. And if I can just take a moment to break down the pattern, I think that would be really helpful. The picture that was shown to me and to my sister was four different stages of a storm. And if you can just imagine with me a cartoon graphic where you have like sunshine and butterflies and all the fun spring type elements. And we call that the honeymoon phase. And I'll come back to that in a moment, but I want to explain the whole picture for you so you can imagine everything with me. The next phase is when the storm is on the horizon and you can see the clouds coming, everything is getting darker and gray. And that phase is actually
It's all good.
okay. So imagine with me you have a cartoon graphic in front of you, and these are the cycles of abuse. You've got the honeymoon phase, which is sunshine and flowers and butterflies, and everything is happy. Then you have the tension phase, where the storm clouds are coming on the horizon. And I'll talk more in detail about these in a minute. But then the next stage is the incident. This is when the storm is here, there's lightning, tornadoes, the hurricane, devastation. This is the point when the aggressor is regulating their emotions. So all of the tension that's building up in them and the feeling dysregulated, they get it all out on you in whatever form or capacity. And then there's the reconciliation phase, which in the graphic looks like a rainbow. And oh, okay, he's sorry or she's sorry. They realizes they've made a mistake and they want to reconcile. I'm getting flowers and they're being really sweet and like trying to fix the problem. And one of we talked earlier about how you see a pattern of people going into these relationships one after another. What's interesting is that once you're in one and you're not you're victimized in a situation like this, if you've been in it for long enough, that the cycle of the tension building and then the regulation and reconciliation and honeymoon, that whole phase, even though there's not an external force applying that to you, it continues in your own life. And so your brain is used to the tension building and then like a panic. For me, it showed up as a panic attack. Like the tension would be building because of an external stressor that had nothing to do with violence. And then the incident would be a panic attack. And then the reconciliation, the coming down of that, and then everything is happy. And then I have not been in another domestic violence relationship simply because I've done a lot of work to identify this pattern and to not get myself into another situation like this. But I have dated, but I've not dated anyone like this again. But the point is that the cycle will continue. If you don't figure out how to stop it and regulate yourself and learn healthy coping mechanisms and to calm all the anxiety, fear, and panic down. Also, if you're not able to identify that you're worth more, then it is very likely that someone who is over the top sweet, over the top charismatic, someone who will be able to, it's like your knight in shining armor, and maybe he can fix all of your problems. Someone like that is going to see an open door with you that maybe they can use you to regulate their emotions, if that makes sense. And so it is incredibly easy for someone who feels wounded, tired, like they just really need someone to carry all their burdens for them and to protect them, to become a victim of someone else who is out for the same, reason that your original abuser was.
Thank you so much for walking us through that cycle.
Yeah, of course.
How did your faith walk impact the way you saw yourself? How did you go from, I don't want to put words in your mouth, how did you go from the place that you were to the place where you felt worthy and safe enough to seek a different lifestyle?
Yeah, my faith journey was really interesting. I call myself the high school and college version of myself, a religious zealot. I was ex in the land of extremes with what should be happening in regards to how you live your life, devout towards the Lord. And I'm a very black and white thinker, and I'm also just highly engaged in prayer and serving the Lord out of just this. Everything inside of me just wanted to please him. And I had some religious rules that were teaching me some unhealthy traits, which is why I was a zealot. But anyway, and I knew like marriage would be the thing that would get me to the most, like, this is the identity of a woman. We're supposed to be married, we're supposed to have kids. And so I just thought, okay, to serve the Lord, this is what I do. And so when I met my ex-husband, funny enough, even though very intentional about prayer and all the things, I never actually asked God if I should marry him. And I believed that was because I was afraid the answer was no. And I was feeling so broken and desperate and all of, and I had a lot of baggage, basically, that I really was looking for someone to come and rescue me. And so when he came in, super kind, super sweet, and was wanting to expedite the relationship, I was like, yes, let's do it. Let's not ask questions. Let's not think twice about this. Let's just get married because then I'll get to the goal. And because I'm a virgin, everything is going to be okay. And so then this nightmare relationship unfolded, and I blamed God. And one of the things was we met through a mutual friend from church, and he was on a worship team, and he had gone through like a discipleship program. And so I just assumed that he and I were on the same page as far as Jesus was concerned. I never really paid attention to his life and how he was living it. Oh my goodness, the lessons I've learned now as I'm dating, and I will never ignore those signs again. But anyway, we ended up getting married so quickly. And then on our honeymoon, I found out several things. One, he didn't like leading worship, which was one of the things that I was attracted to in him because I was also a worship leader. And he didn't go on mission trips. He went on vacations that people paid for. And he called them mission trips. And I was super upset about that too, because I was also a short-term missionary. And then the other thing was he didn't believe God was good. And I found all of this out on our honeymoon, and he could not be convinced otherwise that God was good and that he had good plans for us. And so over the course of those 8 years, I became really bitter. And I was so angry at God for leading me into a marriage that was so destructive. I served you. But it never dawned on me until the 3 days after I left my ex-husband. It was during COVID. My church had outdoor church on the ball field. Everyone had to stand in their own circles and wear a mask outside, which is just really wild. That was all a shared experience across the world. But I was standing in my own circle by myself. And it was smoky outside because there were fires. I live in California. And I will never forget hearing the voice of the Lord for the first time in a long time. And he said, "Do you know why you didn't ask me if you were supposed to marry him?" And I said, "Yeah, because I was afraid the answer was no." And he said, "No, it's because you knew the answer was no, and you didn't want me to tell you that." And he said, "I am not the one who got you into this marriage, but I sure as heck am going to be the one to get you out of it." And I heard his voice so clearly. I instantly fell down on my face and repented because I've been blaming God and causing separation between me and him for 8 years at that point. And I repented, and I could feel myself come into alignment with heaven again. And since then, I've never looked back on my relationship with the Lord. He is my best friend.
Talk us through that breakup with the Lord, if you will.
Yeah.
You mentioned bitterness being like the overwhelming feeling or sentiment.
Yeah. I was really bitter. I had seen so many signs, as one does when they're falling in love and they are finally getting the romance of their dreams and all the signs that point in the direction that you want them to point into. And so I took those as signs from the Lord, even though I never actually asked him. And so I blamed him, and it caused this deep hurt that the God of the universe was someone that I couldn't trust, and that I had to take care of things, and I had to make sure that my husband was regulated and that he was taken care of. And my body went through a whole thing too, that my cycle was constantly off and I couldn't get pregnant. And I was just facing all of these really difficult challenges because every day was pain and every day was hard. I was stuck in a relationship because of my religious views. I was stuck in a relationship that I knew I would just be his mom, basically, taking care of him and filling all of his needs, but I didn't have my needs met at all. And so, because of all of that, I threw all of that blame on the Lord. And the other part of it, too, was that anytime I talked about the goodness of God or just how amazing the Lord was, or I had been praying and whatever, like it would cause an anger response in my husband. And so much so that I would have to protect myself from that anger. And I told the Lord at one point, I said, "Look, I can't have you so solidly in my life anymore because it's either I choose you or I choose my marriage, and I'm not allowed to leave my marriage. So I have to choose my marriage, and you're just going to have to sit on the shelf until this stuff with him gets figured out." And I honestly had this fairy tale image in my mind that eventually God would change his heart and eventually we would have this really fulfilling marriage where we would be healthy and communicate well. And that's was not what the Lord ended up doing. So
Thank you for sharing that, Eden. I think it's so important to highlight for the listeners the importance of reconciling like our expectations with his will and his character. You
yes.
mentioned, I think he was going to tell me no, so I didn't ask him, but yet you took the signs and thought that was him. And I can just look at so many instances in my life where I have done the very same thing. And I'm sure the listeners can identify various different instances in their life where they have done the same thing, to get you out of your marriage and get you out of this painful situation. What did those steps look like? What did that about face look like? I believe you gave us the first step because you mentioned that you repented, but tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, man, God was really good. It was, what's that movie with the yellow brick road, Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz? There it is, the Wizard of Oz. It was like the Lord laid out a yellow brick road for me because I, weeks before, had booked a pastoral counseling session for Saturday morning in August 2020. And it was over Zoom. It was at 8 o'clock. And I kept thinking, even in the middle of my marriage, this is, we're still together. And I'm thinking, things are getting crazy over here. I need help. And at that point, I had been sworn to secrecy that I wasn't allowed to tell anybody what was happening in the middle of the mess. But I told him, I need help. I have to go talk to a pastor. And so I had booked that session weeks ahead of time. That was on a Saturday. The day before was the day where the violent incident happened. And I had to get the cops involved and had to get safe and had to like literally loaded up all three dogs and went away because he was in a state that I was very concerned about the well-being of anyone around him, and to my friend's house, and just completely fell apart. And all I kept saying to her was, just get me to my session tomorrow. Let me just talk to the pastor tomorrow. I'd only met with that pastor one other time before. And when I got on that session, she thought we were just there for pastoral counseling. And I said, I need out and I don't know what to do. And this is what's happening. And she said, you know what? I think the woman, because there were drugs and alcohol were involved in my story, not on my part, but on his. And so she said, you know what? I think that the drug and alcohol abuse counselor who works with families of people who are using those substances, I think she's actually here. Let me go see if I can get her into our session. And she said, this never happens, but I just happened to know she's in the office this morning on a Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. And so she did. And she went and got her, pulled her in. And this woman said, you need to get safe. I told her what happened. And she goes, absolutely. You need to prioritize your own safety. Let's make a plan. And so she laid out this multi-step plan, which is, by the way, part of the email series that if anyone is interested, they're going to sign up for, that you'll get a copy of the plan. But she made this plan for me and made it very actionable and walked me through how exactly I was going to be doing everything that I needed. Things like getting a restraining order, finding a place to stay, making sure that all of my basic needs were covered, making sure that my finances were safe, that the money in the bank account wouldn't be siphoned off. And that because I just needed to be very tactical. And even in that morning, I had to head straight to the bank to make sure that the money was safe. And so there were a lot of things that I had to do to protect myself and action that plan. And then she talked to me over text and over email and in session for over a year. We met on a weekly basis and completely switched counselors at that point. It was actually quite funny. But outside of that, there were random things that happened. So I found an Airbnb way off on a side of town that no one would ever guess that's where I was. I made sure that I had a VPN. If you don't know what that is, it's called a virtual private network. So if he were to go into the back end of any kind of tech account that we have, he wouldn't be able to find what IP address I was at, because IP addresses are basically physical addresses for the internet. And that was on my safety plan. Get a VPN, make sure that you can't be found. And we started going, talking through a third party. And when I was in that waiting period for my restraining order to come through, which is a whole other story, I didn't leave that Airbnb. I stayed there and I just fell apart. I was working remotely. It was during COVID, so it was totally fine for me to just be in that bedroom for 2 weeks, but that's what I did. And ended up when my but I owned it was my name on the house and I was the only one with an income. And so the court actually mandated that he be the one to leave the house and not me. And I was trying to get him into some kind of a facility, but he made his own choices on that and chose not to go that route. But anyway, the sheriff unfortunately had to evict him from the house. He had tried to barricade himself in, and it was a whole very interesting story that where even my neighbors came in to help. And so there was a lot of assistance there. And I kept sending people to him, like, okay, he's clearly not okay. He clearly needs help. Please, will the men of the church and go help him? And they tried. They really did. And I'm so grateful for them. But like I said, we all get to make our own choices on what we do with what's presented to us. Anyway, I ended up making it back in the house. I changed the locks and had that restraining order. The sheriff's office knew exactly what was happening. And yeah, I would be happy to share any other information that you want to know. But I think I just knew every step of the way, even through the entire divorce process, when I needed an answer, it was there. It wasn't there before and it wasn't there after. It was there when I needed it. And God just made it very clear that there was a path out and that was his intention for my life.
That's so beautiful. And it's just a great example of his love and his care and his faithfulness. Last question for you. What would you say to the woman who's listening to today's interview, listening to our conversation, and she's raising her hand and she's Eden? I am where you used to be, and I don't know how to get out. I don't even know if I can get out. Maybe she's living in a place where she is fearful of leaving, or maybe she has doubts that she can leave, or maybe she's struggling with shame. Maybe she's afraid that she's going to be criticized or ridiculed because she decided to leave her partner. What would you say to that woman to encourage her and to help her reach the other side?
Yeah, several things. The first is no one else's opinion of you matters. What religion will say is that God hates divorce. Malachi 2 talks about that. And you know what? God hates it when his daughters are hurting because the person that they trust the most in life is causing them extreme pain. And if you actually go read Malachi 2, that's what it's talking about, not the fact that God hates the actual divorce decree. It's just he hates it when marriages are broken. And don't let religion tell you that you have to stay. Also, there are many things that can be done. If you're not ready to leave now, you can make a safety plan. And I have that included in my email series of, well, how do you form a safety plan when you're still in? And that thing has things to do with financially, what are you going to do? Child care. Like, and there are so many things that you can't do ahead of time because the Lord, again, will sometimes not provide the answers to you until you need them. But there are ways to get safe in the middle of your marriage. There's ways to equip yourself with tools on understanding the cycle and understanding what's happening internally. Also, therapy is incredibly important. Finding a therapist who is on your side and is going to help you and hold your hand through this process. There's people who specialize in this kind of therapy. Highly would recommend you try to find yourself in that situation with a support system of people who will walk with you as you are in the middle of it and in the middle of escaping and recovering. I also want to give you a phone number for the National Domestic Violence Hotline. So I'm assuming we're primarily talking to people inside of the US. I'm sure that these resources are available outside of the US as well, but almost every county in the United States is served by some kind of domestic violence nonprofit. Whether or not they're actually in that county or just in a neighboring county, you typically are covered by some organization that will help you get safe. And in my case, it was One Safe Place. And, there's another county with a much bigger town near me that is served by 12 different organizations. So you can do a simple Google search to find a shelter to run to if you need help. But if you don't have immediate access to that kind of organization, you can call the National Domestic Violence Hotline. Their number is 1-800-799-7233. And they can help, they will listen to you and they can help you form a plan if you need to escape immediately. Also, I know this is obvious, but 911, or in if it's a different country, whatever emergency services hotline, if you need someone there right then, please don't feel embarrassed or ashamed to call for help. That's why they're there.
Thank you. That was so good. Eden, thank you for sharing your testimony. Thank you for sharing your story with us. Thank you for your vulnerability. Thank you for just showing us how God's hand was over the entire situation and how his grace has just been woven through your life and your situation. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for having me today. I feel like we could probably talk about this for several more hours.
I really do. As we wrap things up, how can the listener stay in contact with you?
Sure. So I have a podcast that is not super active at the moment, but it's called Returning to Eden, and you can find that wherever you listen to podcasts. It's mainly about deconstructing purity culture, but if you just want to hear some really funny stories of like my dating shenanigans since I've left my ex-husband, that you can please go listen there. They're quite hilarious. But if you want to follow more content on this in particular and breaking free from fear and just understanding emotional health and the importance of it all, please follow me on Instagram. My Instagram is Eden the Adventurer. And you'll see I put out quite a lot of content and talk in my stories almost every day with a mental health awareness kind of a tidbit. And so, yeah, that's where you can find me.
And I know you have an amazing gift that you want to share with our audience. It's a 12-week journal prompt series. Can you talk us through that a little bit more?
Sure, yeah. So the journal prompt series was really designed with people who, okay, let's start over. I had it on my heart that women needed to be guided through the process of how do I understand the situation that I'm in? How do I break free? And how do I communicate all of my heart issues with the Lord? Because at the end of the day, the Lord is the one. I don't want to say person, but the one being in the universe that we can trust without a shadow of a doubt. And when we're in the middle of pain, that relationship can have a disconnection. And so the goal of this journal series is to not only help you identify how to get safe if you're in the middle of this kind of a situation or just in a toxic relationship in general, but also how do I get reconnected with the Lord so that I can hear his voice and he can show me how to live my life in a way that is full of peace.
I'm so excited for our listeners. Grab that, and there will be a link to it on the website right underneath today's call or today's interview. There will also be a link within the show notes if they choose to access it on the go via the podcast. So it will be in both places, as well as the resources. I took notes as you were going through them. So all of that will be available and accessible to them so that they can start their healing journey. I'm so excited for that.
Yeah. Can I say one more thing about the healing journey?
Of course.
It is not a straight line at all. We think, oh, we're going to build and build and we're going to get healing and healing and like go from greater to greater. But that is not at all the case. Mental health is the tricky little thing where you get a certain level of healing. And then guess what? Another stressor comes into your life that brings up something new and can bring up old patterns and can cause fear and can cause a response that maybe you don't understand, and you might feel like you're going crazy, but that's actually just the way your brain works. Your brain has many different compartments that hide all sorts of fear. And as we are growing and maturing, the Lord is really good to bring things into our lives that will trigger and unlock those boxes in our mind. And if I could give you any parting words, it would be give yourself grace to go through this process. And if the storm feels too strong, go back to the Lord and ask for peace because the journey and it's not a straight line.
Thank you for sharing that. This has been such an eye-opening experience for me. I've been both on the brink of tears at points, as well as just in awe of God's goodness. So thank you. Thank you for sharing it, Eden. Listeners, thank you for listening. As you listen to today's session, even if maybe your lifestyle, your home experience looks completely different, take nuggets from it so that you can share it with your loved ones. You never know whom you're sharing it with and what the intention behind it and how God plans on using it. Please do share it and circle back. Take a listen to some of the other sessions. I don't believe God would have laid this project on my heart for it not to touch and impact this growing community, this fear and doubt detox community. I trust that it will bless you. Please take the information and share it with others, especially the information around the victim and violent, like domestic violence cycle. Share that with someone else because you never know how it's going to help them and how it's going to bless them. And thanks for listening. Eden, any final thoughts before we close things out?
Oh, I just want to say thanks so much for doing what you're doing. I think that this summit is so incredibly important, and I think that the women and the people in our community are going to wildly benefit from you pulling this together. So thanks so much for having me and giving me space to share my story.
Yeah, thanks for being here. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening in. Please take a listen to some of the other sessions, and we'll see you back here for the next episode.